Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome all. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry research team. In fact, I'm trying to pull my microphone a little bit closer. There we go. Getting ready for another exciting adventure into truth during the study of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Today is May 30, 2020, and we're glad that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule and away from the world and the events that are occurring and the mayhem and all that is going on out in the wide world, and step aside for a few minutes and learn the truth from the Holy Spirit and from the words that Jesus Christ left to us through his eyewitness disciples. Let us have prayer. We'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for doing what you have done for us all along, and that is open our hearts and our minds to the truth. Thinkers understand that it is important to be able to analyze and to collate information. People who just feel, not so much. And so, Father, today we pray, I pray, that what we do here today will put us in the mode and method of thinking about what we are hearing, of analyzing it, of deciding for it or against it. And I pray, Father, that you will, in your mercy, guard us from the evil ones who would seek to come and cause us confusion. I pray now all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's see here. Here we go. Hang on. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Dr. Don. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, Don. Yeah, I did, right at the beginning. May 30, 2020. Hey, Don, just a quickie.
Yes.
Why should people go to our website and read The Spirit of the Church?
Well, you mentioned a very important word in your prayer, and that is thinker. That's a major, major reality is thinking. And when you run into a thinker, they're always listening very carefully. They do not have to believe you. They do not have to believe you, but they will listen carefully. And they will say, well, Dennis, you know, I never heard that before. Why are you saying that? That's a thinker. And then you give the references and they can go and study it for themselves. And the book that you wrote, you and Rick wrote, is put together in a really, I think, fabulous way because it presents a topic. And then at the end of every chapter, it kind of reviews and explains what was just said. And in the early verses of Matthew 24, Jesus himself alerted and warned his disciples, the men that had been with him through his ministry, see to it that nobody deceives you. That's a powerful statement because these men had been with him throughout his ministry. And there's a lot of people out there that say, well, it would be impossible for these people to be deceived because they're with the master all this time. Well, right there, when you read that verse, I don't remember exactly which one, it's the early part of Matthew 24. Jesus said, be careful so nobody deceives you because many people will come in my name stating that, in fact, I am the Christ and will deceive many. And that is very true today. And in the book, The Spirit of the Church, you are very succinctly spelling out, be careful. There's a bad spirit in this world, and there's a good spirit in this world. Make sure you know which one is which.
Thank you, Don. That's really good. That's wonderful. By the way, those verses are Matthew 24, 4 and 5, and then 11. So, Rick, we've been discussing a lot of different things in the last few weeks, but the most notable one, as I wrote about it in the episode info this morning, just to take a minute, says that there may be an alternative to what we have been taught is going to happen at the end of time in Revelation, especially Revelation 13. And it seems to me that God all along throughout history has given everyone that he has dealt with, both in his kingdom and out, choices. There's always been a choice. One choice has been for prosperity and life, and the other has been for adversity and death. And it is surprising to me, Rick, how often, in fact, every single time he's presented that, the person to whom he has presented these choices has chosen the death road instead of the life road. Are we coming to a time when we are going to have, as a world, as a society, another opportunity with this very choice?
Well, I think we already have made the choice. The devil is working in desperation to regain control. The group that he controls is called the Luciferian Cabal, also known as the Deep State Cabal. The Deep State does not just exist in the United States, it exists in all the countries of the world. And the deep state was set up for the singular purpose of working during what we read, starting in Revelation 13 and what we read in Daniel 12, 11 and 12. In that reality, what needed to happen was the people of earth needed to cede their will to the deep state. And they have not done that in the majority. There are those who have ceded their will to the deep state. But they are in the minority. There's a great number of people who have been deceived by the deep state that are waking up. And this is called the Great Awakening. It's interesting to note that in describing the condition of humankind at the end of days, sleep is their state of being. For instance, the 10 bridesmaids are all asleep when they are awakened by the shout, "The bridegroom is here, come out to meet him." The wise and foolish alike are asleep. The world is asleep in darkness, which is what happens in the darkness. You sleep. This goes right along with what I have been talking about lately of the method that I have observed that God uses in conveying information to humans. That is, he either presents a historical event or series of events and then transitions that into a spiritual lesson, a spiritual teaching, so that you will understand what he is saying when what he is saying sounds so foreign and causes you to
unlikely
be horrified.
Yeah, it's unlikely that this would happen.
And it's one of those times where when the transition is made, people think it's just kind of a fairy tale or a fantasy. The major problem today is that people believe that they know the truth. They know all that there is to know to participate in the second coming of the Lord, to be among those who are ushered into his kingdom. I have had many discussions over the last 26 plus years with people who are experts and people who think they're experts. People who rely on the experts, and people who don't need experts. All of them have a very difficult time sitting down, listening without preconceived preconceived established facts. What has reassured me is to know that God has had the same issue with people that I have. People that already know all they need to know and are confident that God will give them or has already given them eternal life. What God said to Isaiah to say to the people, we find in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And 20. Come now, let us talk this over, says Yahweh. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing to obey, you shall eat the good things of the earth. But if you persist in rebellion, the sword shall eat you instead. the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. In essence, what God is saying, sit down and be still. Hear the case that I present before you. And then tell me, is that what you want? The case that he presents is, if you obey me, you will eat the good things of the earth. This is a spiritual statement. What he's saying is your life will be good. You won't have to worry about an army coming and defeating you. You won't have to worry about a pandemic that has covered the earth. It won't come near you. You won't have to worry about a famine in the world, because in your land, you will have plenty to eat. You won't have to worry about anything in your life, because you will have good things. But if you persist in rebellion, the sword will eat you instead.
You know, Rick, that sounds a lot like the life road and death road.
Does it? It does indeed. I was listening to an interview. It was an interesting topic. The individual's name was, or is, Bob Wood. And he was in the military. He worked for some time in the PSYOP division. He was not a remote viewer, but he was more in the computer AI and Project Looking Glass. Project Looking Glass, for those who may be unaware of it or unfamiliar with it, is an AI program. AI stands for artificial intelligence. They've been working with this since the 50s. And what Project Looking Glass is, they're still using it. What they do is they plug in various, what they call strings. I call them reality streams. They call them strings. Strings of reality. In other words, think of a piano. You look inside a piano. How many strings do you see?
Loads. There are three for the mid-range and high, and there are two for each of the bass strings.
Now you
88 keys.
You look at the strings inside a piano and imagine each one of those strings is a possible reality. If you see each one of those strings as information fed into a computer, what the computer does in Project Looking Glass is it processes all the information placed in it about, well, if this happened, what would that cause? If this happened, what would it cause? So they put in a tremendous amount of different types of scenarios. And the computer processes all of this and then spits out what the result would be. I've talked about this over the last number of years. I think at least the last 20 years I've talked about our reality is based upon what we choose to do. Particularly after we've graduated high school, what do we choose to do in regards to our life? A lot of it has to do with how much money we want to make. Some of it is, what do I really like doing and pursue that? But the choice you make when you graduate from high school pretty much determines what your future reality will be. You may meet your husband or your wife in college. So that depends upon what you choose to take in college. You may find out that what you want to do, you either don't enjoy or you just can't make the grade.
And you know, Rick, there's a lot of talk today in certain circles, especially with people like Mike Rowe, who are saying that there are a lot of students, a lot of young people, who would actually be better off going into a trade rather than going into an advanced college degree. And you might even call, for instance, being a physician, you're in a trade school. Medical school is a trade school. You're learning a trade. So is nursing. So is, for instance, anything that is not purely academic. I'm a musician. My degrees were in music. And I had a career in music because that's what I chose to do. And in amongst all of that, of course, I did a whole bunch of other things. But the fact is, I learned how to accomplish certain things in preparing students to accomplish certain things. This is practical. And what I think you're talking about now is practical knowledge as opposed to esoteric knowledge.
Well, yeah, but what I'm talking about is, if we could see the future, our future, and choose which future reality we want, and then walk that back so that we would follow that path that would bring us to that future reality. That's what Project Looking Glass does. So you can imagine, in the realm of control, pretty much the ones who are in control of Project Looking Glass are the ones who want to control humanity and the world. So what they want to do is they want to plug in the reality that will lead to that type of control. I'm talking about Revelation 13 control, with the beast that comes out of the sea and the seven heads, and each head has a blasphemous name on it. Each head has a crown. In fact, one head would have more, because there are 10 crowns and 7 heads. I'm talking about that the devil gives his throne and his authority and his power to that cabal. They're trying to, with Project Looking Glass, plug in the right reality that will bring them to that point.
Conclusion, right.
Very interesting thing, though, and this is what Bob Wood has said, and this is how he got involved in it, is because they brought him in to find out what was wrong with the stupid computer. Because it didn't matter what reality, what events, what data they would put in about, well, if we do this, or if we do that, or, well, what if we go here?
Whatever modification of reality they chose.
It always gave them the same result.
Which was not the result they were looking for.
Which is not the one they wanted.
Right.
So they brought him in because they thought, well, it must be a computer problem. So that's how he knew that they were having this issue, because they called him in to try and fix it and solve it. And he ended up saying, there's nothing wrong with your computer program. It is giving you this singular future. And apparently it was not the future they wanted. That's why they were trying so hard. What is happening in the world right now, this year, is the attempt by the deep state cabal in the world, not just this country, this is a whole world thing, is they are attempting to alter that future, even though the computer tells them they can't do it.
Just apropos of that, this is amazing. 1 hour ago, Donald Trump said this. It's Antifa and the radical left. Don't lay the blame on others. You see, right now, Antifa and the radical left is trying to change the future from an outcome that they do not want to happen. And it is when you look at what is happening in all of our cities, the cities are burning because not because people are not right in protesting the death of this
protesting
man.
Protesting is far different.
No,
from
no.
Riot.
What I'm saying is that's right. It isn't that these people are protesting. It's that they have been incited to riot by paid mercenaries who have taken the side of the deep state cabal.
They've been on the side of the deep state cabal.
That's what I'm saying. They've taken that side. So here we are. This is a crux moment.
I'm telling you that according to Bob Wood, it doesn't matter what they do. And believe me, they've put in all of these, well, what if we did this? What if we did that? What if this happens? What if that happens? Gives them the same result. And it's not the result they want. George Soros sits on the Council of Hell. And he made this statement. He said, it has been my life's work to destroy the United States of America. I remember back in the 60s with Bill Ayers. And we knew then that Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground was being funded by George Soros. My friends, in all this mayhem and confusion and death and destruction, please remember God. God has not left this country. In fact, God has not left this world. And the world must not leave God. That is the only way to survive what is happening. If you remain faithful to God, then what you will eat is peace and prosperity. If you give up on God, then what you will eat is the sword.
Rick, is it possible for both of those to function concurrently?
No. No. I don't know if you've noticed, I have noticed, that there is a concerted effort to bring about the events that Revelation describes. Wars, pandemics,
sword plague, famine, wild beasts, the four,
contact tracing with an implanted chip,
implanted via a vaccine.
I mean, people are talking about the mark of the beast with Bill Gates and his vaccines that he wants to vaccinate everybody with, so that it has a little nano dust particle in the vaccine that is injected into you, and then they can track you wherever with 5G. They can track you because 5G can handle that amount of data.
The volume of data, correct.
The devil is desperate to make the reality of Revelation 13 happen. But when in Revelation, when is the mark instigated?
The last 5 months.
Yeah, when the image has been made,
right.
and you have to have four trumpets before that. We haven't even had the first trumpet.
Right.
And we're not going to have the first trumpet.
And apropos of this, we have a small, what would you call it, precursor to the beast of Revelation 13 existing in the world today. And it's in the form of the Chinese Communist Party rule over a billion people in China.
And when does that rise to power? That doesn't rise to power. The kings from the east are in the sixth bowl
that's
of wrath.
Right. All
after, and that's after everything has been decided.
At the very, very end. Exactly.
But what I see is that it appears the devil is still trying to get his... That's his time. I mean, Revelation 13 and 15 and 16 and you know, when we read that, it's like, boy, this, I don't hope I don't ever have to go through that.
This is hell on earth. And I remember distinctly hearing my mother-in-law say, and I loved her. Her husband wanted to live through to see the end of this. He wanted to go through it more than anything else because he knew the outcome. He just wanted to be there. And he died. So did Mary. But Mary said, I would rather die than go through that.
Well, you know, we grew up in the Adventist Church, and one of the things that many, many Adventists, probably 90% of them did, was their preparation for the end of the world and everything that was written in Revelation was?
It was an ARV.
You go, yeah, an ARV, an Adventist Rapture Vehicle, and you had that thing stuffed to the gills with enough food to get you through the Great Tribulation, and you would drive as far out in the wilderness as you could possibly get.
Until you ran out of gas, and then you'd park it there, and you'd live off the land and hope nobody with a satellite could find you. Yeah, right.
Back in those days, satellites weren't tracking you. Nowadays, there's no place you can hide. They'll find you. I mean, if they're going to find you, they're going to find you. There's no place where you can hide where they can't find you.
Right.
What I see is that the devil knows he knows that for sure, but what he also knows is that even his own Project Looking Glass is telling him, showing him what he's going to get, and that is not what he wants. It's obvious to me that's not what he wants, because what I see is he's trying to make Revelation happen. He's going to make it happen no matter what. God can't get in his way because he's going to make it happen.
And I think he believes that, like many Christians, that any prophecies that have not occurred already, that are listed in prophecies in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, must be fulfilled and happen before the time of the end. If they don't, then God lied. You see, if they don't, it's not God's doing.
Well, they don't. I mean, they won't suggest that God would lie. But what they're saying is God doesn't lie, so it's going to happen. But
right.
What they fail to realize is what people have failed to realize all along. The couple in the garden didn't realize this. The children of Israel didn't realize this. Is that when God said this and this and this and this will happen, but if you don't do this, or but if you will do this, then this and this and this and this will happen, that won't. That is what we are looking at today, and I can see that the devil is beside himself and working in desperation to have it his way, because he does not have the control over the people of the earth that he thought he would have.
Could that be because in 2016, America made a decision?
Yes. And the world has
followed along.
The world
followed along.
When this happened, when this happened with Project Looking Glass was in 2012. And that's interesting. I had put together what I called my final chart.
By the way, you can still see that on our original
website. It was my final chart. It was my final chart because I was not going to make another one. And it's interesting about that. The first date on that chart was July the 11th, I believe, 2012. I had high hopes for 2012 because, you know, that was the end of the Mayan calendar. The Mayans are accurate, extremely accurate with their calendars. There would be 1,335 days from July the 11th to, I believe it was February 29th or 28th, somewhere in there. all the timelines of Revelation were there. All the timelines of Daniel were there. 2012 came and went. The next year that the timelines would be active on that chart was 2016, spring of 2016. But nothing happened. It had been a long time. I had started studying in 1993, fall of 1993. I had been studying diligently, basically all my waking hours when I wasn't at work. I had a Sabbath school class that I had every Sabbath at church. There was a Friday night Bible study group, and then ultimately I was invited to lead out in the Thursday night home Bible study group. I had found how to understand time and timing, and that's how I had put the chart together. And nothing happened in 2016. And I was disappointed, but it was more like I was let down. God let me down. I knew that it was not about me, and I accepted that. And I hung in there. I did have a feeling of, well, I could just go back to school, get my master's, do my job, and God can come when he's ready, when he wants to. But I didn't do that. And now I see why. Now I understand. I'm glad I didn't do anything stupid back then. But boy, I was sure close to.
We all were.
I've had some other sort of letdowns. But I'm stronger now. Much stronger. I see the devil is desperately trying to drag the people of the world kicking and screaming into a death road reality, and they don't want to go, and I don't blame them. I don't want to go into that reality either, but for the devil, that was his last hurrah. He was going to go out, and he was going to give a big F you to God, and if he was going to be put to death, he was not going to go down peacefully.
Or alone.
Or alone. He was going to go down believing himself to have been the victor, because he had managed to bring the whole world into his reality of death and destruction. And God would have to lick his wounds, even though he was the victor. He could hardly say that he triumphed. He just had to end it. That's what the devil would be doing. The problem is that the people of the world refuse to cooperate. The desperate Dems have a description about those kinds of people?
Deplorables.
Well, yeah, but they cling to their God and their gun. The devil is trying to make hell happen. Look around you. Plague, riots, unrest that could lead to war in the South China Sea. But you know what? All the people of the world need to do is say a big F you to the devil. Now, I'm not saying that literally. I'm saying that spiritually. You let the devil know that it doesn't matter what he wants, he's not going to get it from you. And then stick to that. This is not what I planned on talking about today. But I think this needed to be said, and I don't know how much you believe in what Project Looking Glass can do. I'll just say this, that Project Looking Glass has been near perfect in what it spits out. And that it is driving the powers that be, the evil powers that be,
baddie,
because it's not giving them a route to the future they want. It keeps giving them the one they don't want.
And see, Rick, what would that be? Where would that be defined in Revelation? See, the issue is, if God has a choice, if God gives people a choice, that choice has to be reflected in the prophecies in which the other option is defined.
People cannot be forced into a reality they don't choose.
Correct. Absolutely.
I'm sure that God has said to the devil, I allow people to choose me. I allow people to choose you, but I don't allow you to force them into choosing you. I don't allow you to go against their will and make your reality happen just because you are wanting it to happen. People have the right to choose, and you will not take that away from them. And I think that just, it enrages him to no end.
It is galling to the devil.
So, if you want to do a big up yours to the devil, don't give in to him. You have more power right now than the devil, and that power is the power to choose not to choose him. continue with your belief in God. You may not know the truth right now, God will give that to you. But as long as you live up to the principles that you have and you don't give up on them and join the other side, the people of the world are in a wilderness, a spiritual wilderness. But they are not in hell. They may not be in heaven, but they're not in hell. They still have the ability to choose. And as long as they haven't chosen the devil, he cannot direct their future. I don't know what the seven thunders said to John. I don't know what he heard. But one thing I do know is that the message that he heard in the seven thunders was as sweet as honey in his mouth. And that would seem to me to be a good thing. The message in Israel that was sweet as honey in the mouth of the prophet was the foretelling of the coming of the king, the Messiah, the anointed one. A prophecy akin to that. That would be like what the seven thunders is. The prophecy of Revelation 13, 15, 16, that certainly wouldn't be sweet as honey in the mouth. That's a prophecy primarily of death and destruction. To him who's destined to die by the sword he will die. To him who's destined to go to prison he will go. A third of the earth is destroyed. A third of the sea, a third of the sea creatures are destroyed. A third of the ships. A third of the fresh water is poisoned. That's a horrific scenario. It's interesting that mankind, as opposed to the condition of the heart of those living just before the flood, and those living just before the plasma fire of the second death, a distinct and opposite condition of heart. I don't know how to explain what the difference was, except the influence of the Son of God's ministry has everything to do with it.
Yeah.
And it is not God's purpose to force us into a hell on earth to make a decision for or against him. He wants us to make that decision for or against him. But he's not going to force us into hell on earth when we acknowledge him and we live our lives caring about our fellow man, taking care of our neighbors in need, going to church and praising God, even though we don't know the truth, He will give us the truth, but He will not force us into hell before we'll accept it. If we will accept the truth during peace and prosperity, that has more meaning and is more meaningful to God. It's easy to choose God when there's death and destruction all around.
And that there's the old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes.
Exactly.
Actually, the better word than foxholes is fighting hole.
It would be easier to convert someone to the truth when they're looking death square in the eye than when things are going well and they see no real need to change. I hope that more people see that the peace and prosperity they will ultimately have is because God intervened and didn't allow the devil to bring all hell to bear on this earth. I hope that because of peace and prosperity, they would want to know more about the God in the heavens who kept His word. If you choose me, if you obey me, and if you love your fellow man, your neighbor as yourself, I will give you peace and prosperity, and I will give you shepherds after my own heart who know me, and they will teach you about me. There is coming, I believe, and this is what turned John's stomach sour after he swallowed the message. A natural, quote unquote, disaster which could destroy the world and everything in it and on it. A micronova would do that, or something else. And that would come after the peace and prosperity. And that would necessitate that all those who wish to survive that would need to be taken off this earth to a safe place. I guess we will soon find out.
Thank you, Rick. Wow, this was truly amazing. And I encourage our listeners to tell their friends and neighbors about this particular program that we just did today. It will be up on the website, Blog Talk Radio website, this a little bit later today. You can download it, and we encourage you to let people know about it so they can listen to this and have a deep sense of hope regenerated in their hearts. Thank you for joining us. We encourage you to join us again next Friday at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth, this is Dennis saying so long for now. Have a happy Sabbath. We'll see you next time.